Welcome to Lombardi's Legends podcast. It's Dane here with Wags. We're going to be doing our positional reviews from the 2020 season. And today, Wags, let's talk about running backs. We had Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, others, A.J. Dillon, Tyler Irvin, down the list. But, I thought Aaron Jones had a really nice season. We're going to get into it, but let's just talk about the running backs today.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a very productive position this year. We had, really, it was Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams were definitely the primary guys. A.J. Dillon got to get himself mixed in at the end of the season a little bit more than early in season. I think we may have thought we were going to see him get mixed in early on, but we'll talk more about A.J. A little bit later. I think it is starting off with Aaron Jones. And look, Pro Bowl season, he didn't have as many touchdowns as he did the previous season, but I thought just extremely efficient, came out and proved that once again he could be that workhorse back with over 200 carries and almost 50 receptions this year. So that's a lot of touches for a guy that I think early on in his career, we weren't sure if he could handle that big of a workload. And Aaron Jones just came out and more importantly, didn't seem to wear down as the season went along, averaged over 5.5 yards a carry. And I thought looked strong at the end of the season, just as much as he did at the start of the season.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And, it was really most of the season a bit of a two-headed monster, but Aaron Jones just looked phenomenal. He had huge weeks against Detroit Lions. I mean, it's hard to go all the way back to the start of the year, but, Aaron Jones in week two had 168 yards, Wags. I mean, like monster games, 145 yards late in the year against the Panthers, had a nice game against the Eagles, and the list goes on. I thought that, in addition to that, just he catches the ball nice out of the backfield. If I'm not mistaken, he was close to 50 receptions, for the Packers offense as well. So definitely one of the engines of the Packers offense was Aaron Jones. And, I thought that if the final playoff game is the end of Aaron Jones in Green Bay, it's going to be a sad ending, putting the ball on the ground and having a difficult time running the ball. You hope your best players show up in those big moments. And I think Jones, I'm sure wishes he had that one back and has that game back. But that doesn't take away from the rest of the year, which I thought was just, he really stacked 2019 and he put 2020 on top of it. If 2019 was his breakout season, then 2020 for Aaron Jones was his I belong, I am this good kind of season. So Aaron Jones, Wags, I just thought was incredibly impressive. And the Packers thought so as well. Rumors have come out that the Packers offered top five running back money to Aaron Jones, and I think he wants to test the market. Now, I understand him wanting to do that, and I think it's less likely that he returns to Green Bay. But again, none of that in the business side, because he seems like a great guy, takes away from a very, very strong season from Aaron Jones.
Yeah. So that's the big elephant in the room. Why don't we just talk about that?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone out there that's begrudging or isn't saying that Aaron Jones deserves to get paid. Mm-hmm. The big question is it the right move for the Packers? And I don't know what your thoughts are, Dane. It sounds like you're conflicted. Here, my initial thinking is it doesn't make sense to pay a running back top flight money when you have the top paid quarterback in the NFL, or will soon be again, more than likely, if that's not going to happen currently. you've got the top paid offensive tackle in the NFL, and Davante Adams needs to get paid.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to split between a guy like Davante Adams and Aaron Jones, but traditionally the wide receiver is going to get paid more than the running back, especially in recent history. And frankly, if I had to choose, I'm going to give the edge to Davante Adams. It's a top choice, but I just feel like that's the more proven commodity and the safer commodity in terms of where you're going to put your money if you have to choose. So, look, maybe the Packers are able to get creative here are able to work something out with Aaron Jones. I do wonder how serious their offer was. I saw those same reports. By all accounts, there was an offer made before the end of the season, right? So was that an offer that it was just so the Packers could get out there on front and say, hey, we offered him a lot of money, knowing he wouldn't take it? Or was that a legitimate, we're prepared to pay a running back top flight money here? So what say you, Dan?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll just flat out say it. I love Aaron Jones. I don't want to pay Aaron Jones what I think he's worth. And that's not a slight on Aaron Jones, because I think he's worth probably a lot of money to a fair number of teams. I've seen the Miami Dolphins. I've seen the Chicago Bears. I've seen a couple other names out there, and rightfully so. That being said, you know, this team runs on more than one position. And the Packers spent draft capital on A.J. Dillon, and A.J. Dillon in limited opportunity showed, especially against the Titans, that he can ball, and he showed it. And he has soft hands out of the backfield. He's certainly not the same style running back that Aaron Jones is, and I'm not saying that the Packers offense wouldn't miss Aaron Jones dearly, but as you said, you can only, there's only so much money in the salary cap era, and you have to talk about and really prioritize things. And if you ask me, is it Davante Adams or is it Aaron Jones? It's going to be Davante Adams 10 out of 10 times, just because that position, the wide receiver position, is more widely valued in the passing league. And Davante Adams, Wags, has shown, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Brett Hundley or any other number of quarterbacks when Rodgers has dealt with injuries in the past, that Davante Adams can still be a 1,000-yard receiver. So, I mean, we've got to look ahead, and even into next year. I think this Packer team, with or without Aaron Jones, can compete for a Super Bowl next season. I wouldn't say the same about Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, or Davante Adams. So, again, no disrespect to Aaron Jones, who makes it happen, and he's shown that he can make it happen. But I just don't feel comfortable investing that kind of money that he deserves, in addition to the draft capital that we just invested in A.J. Dillon. I don't think it makes business sense for the Green Bay Packers to do that.
Right. And you look around the league, it's just very recently in the last couple of seasons that a couple of these running backs started to get paid again.
Yeah.
It was for 5-6 years, running backs couldn't get a second contract to save their lives. And now all of a sudden you've got Alvin Kamara, you know, you've got Dalvin Cook, you've got Derrick Henry. But those seem to be the exceptions. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know how much Dallas is liking that contract right now after the season he had. And so it's about how you want to build your roster. And I'm right there with you. I love Aaron Jones too. I don't think there's, I don't know too many Packer fans that wouldn't love to have Aaron Jones on this team next year. But when you put money into the focus and you can't subtract that from the equation, he's going to get paid. And I don't think the Packers should pay him either. I agree with you. They need to look at other positions to be able to spend that money and that capital and see how they can, you know, build this running back group from within. Perhaps it's a little bit of a reset, but I think we'll be fine either way. Without Aaron Jones, he's a fine player, and he's definitely not an easy guy to replace, just in terms of his his breakaway ability. That's not something that we have on the roster currently, but I'm sure, remember, he was a fourth round pick. So, it's not like we need to go out and get a running back in the first round to replace what Aaron Jones gave us. I think we can find other guys that give us that speed and that dimension, and maybe they won't be as productive in year one, but they won't be asked to be. We don't need to bring in someone that's going to get that workload. They just need to be able to come in and spell whoever we do have out there and be able to give that defense a little bit of a different look. So, c'est la vie, I think we're probably, unfortunately, I think we've seen the last game of Aaron Jones, and it is disappointing for him and for all Packer fans that last look that we had of him in a Packer jersey was probably not what he would like to be remembered for, but he had a great run here. So that said, am I going to be disappointed if the Packers spend a bunch of money and bring him back? No, it's not probably what it sounds like either of us would do, mm-hmm. but we love Aaron Jones as a player. So it's not like he doesn't help this team win games.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And if he came back, that's the thing about this is like from a business sense, I'm scratching my head, but from an on the field sense, I'm all smiles, right? And that's the hard part of this game is like, you're thinking with, you got to think a lot of different ways. So we'll see what happens there. But I think Wags, we're in agreement there. I don't see crystal ball. I don't see Aaron Jones returning to Green Bay, but incredible run. And if this is it, one of the memories I will always hold closely will be, I believe, his rookie season when Aaron Rodgers was injured. And I believe the only touch of the game for Aaron Jones, he took it about 35 yards to the house to seal the win, or I believe it was the last play of the game, won the game. And there's that great picture of Aaron Rodgers smiling and hugging Aaron Jones. And he looks like a proud parent after Jones took that one to the house. And, I always remember that because I remember when Jones took off with that ball, I was like, that guy looks different than any running back we've had in a few years.
Yeah, he's not going to be easy to replace in that respect. But I think let's talk about a couple of the other guys here.
Yeah.
Specifically when we're reviewing this past season, it's really just, we already mentioned Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon, and then technically Tyler Irvin is also listed as a running back. But they're the only guys that were able to see the field in an actual game this season. So I think let's focus on them in terms of the review. So let's talk about Jamal Williams next, also a free agent. And he is just your blue-collar guy. He's that hard-half guy, and I don't mean to sell Jamal Williams short. That's a compliment in every sense of the word. He is a jack of all trades. He's by far the best pass blocker in that running back room. And he's a solid receiver. And he's pretty productive too. He doesn't have that game breaking ability in terms of speed and doesn't necessarily run guys over the way that A.J. Dillon might be able to. He gets the job done and pretty much replicated what he's done the last few seasons. Had just over 500 yards rushing and just over 115 carries. So he's, I think, a valuable part of this offense. Maybe, dare I say, a little bit understated and underrated by some Packer fans. But those that really pay attention to what Jamal Williams does out there every week on the field, understand what value he brings to this team.
Yeah, and, he's steady in how he plays football. I mean, one thing that I think is so important, he's had 600 carries in his career. He's never put the ball on the ground once. He doesn't fumble the ball at the NFL level. That's a big deal. He's a phenomenal pass blocker. He's not afraid to stick his nose when the heat's coming on Aaron Rodgers. I can't tell you how many times over the last few seasons they're bringing the heat, and it's something that the average fan probably isn't going to see, but there's Jamal Williams just selling out to protect Aaron Rodgers. And more often than not, he's incredibly successful. He's on the field for special teams, you know, not only as a kick returner at times, but also on kick coverage. He's on punt. He's on punt return and coverage. I mean, he's just out there. He's one of those guys that just, he clearly loves to play the game. The locker room loves him. He's a shot of energy. He's always goofing around. He's keeping it light. But when it gets focused, he just brings the heat. Wags, you know, he might not be your 1,000-yard runner. In fact, he's not going to be your 1,000-yard runner. But, you know, as you said, he had 500-plus yards rushing. He had another 200-plus yards receiving and a touchdown there. 31 receptions on the season. Another guy with soft hands that just does a little bit of everything. And he's one of those guys that just helps the offense run smoother. And when we talk about replacing guys like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones is going to get the big contract. I don't think Jamal Williams is, because again, it's a devalued position across the NFL. The Packers are going to be running into some cap issues, but so is everybody else this year. After the COVID plague 2020 season, the economics are just different this year. Wags, my understanding is that the Packers have not offered Jamal Williams a contract yet, and I say yet. Jamal Williams recently fired his agents. And it sounds like he has his eye on trying to return to the Packers, wanting to add a new agent because he's hoping to get contract negotiations started with the Packers. Is it a slam dunk that he returns? Certainly not. But do I think that something could potentially happen, especially if Aaron Jones is gone? Could they get a deal done quickly with Jamal Williams? Yes, I think they could. And he's a guy where at a far discounted price in compared to Aaron Jones, where I would welcome Jamal Williams back with open arms. I love what he does for this team.
I agree, and it seems to make sense for both sides that they would try to do a short-term deal, maybe even just a one-year deal. From Jamal Williams' perspective, he knows the Packers. Packers know him. He's never been that workhorse guy, but he understands, obviously, if Aaron Jones is moving on, if nothing else, he's going to have an opportunity to compete for more touches and to compete for that starting job. And he might have the upper hand to do that if he comes back. So I think for him, it makes a lot of sense. Even if he's not getting any long-term security, I don't really see any other teams out there. Perhaps there's other teams that might try to lure him with a 2-year deal, type thing, where he gets that extra year. That can be a little bit of fool's gold. I don't know, obviously what Jamal Williams is looking for, if he feels that, 2-year versus a 1-year deal with the Packers, and certainly the Packers can offer him a 2 or 3-year deal too. I don't think they'll go to 3 years, but
no.
maybe they go to 2. It's for the right price. It seems to make sense that they would wait. I said offline that if I'm the Packers, there's no rush to offer Jamal Williams a contract. He's not going to be a market setter, so you may as well wait and see if the top flight running backs have their market depreciated a little bit before you offer a guy like Jamal Williams a contract. Because even if you come in at, and look, nobody's suggesting he's going to get a bunch of money, but what if the Packers offered him 2 years, $9.5 million? But the reality is, if they waited, maybe they could get him for 2 years, $6 million. Okay, it's only, $2 or $3 million difference, but that can go a long way when you've got a tight salary cap situation.
Totally.
So if I'm the Packers front office, I'm talking to Jamal Williams. I'm letting him know that we value him and we're keen on working something out. But you're not going to want to let him get away without having some good conversations. But if another team comes in and blows it out of the water, I think they may move on from Jamal Williams as well. So there is a possibility that the Packers do not return either Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. And if they can't get Jamal Williams back at the right price, I think that would probably be the better move. Because as much as I like Jamal Williams as well, I do not want to overpay him either. So I think that's going to be the big caveat here is, while it's not going to be a ton of money, and you might look at it on paper and say, well, why didn't they just match that? If he does go to another team, I think they need to be disciplined in what they feel his number is and stick to that. And hopefully it's the number that works out for both sides.
Yeah, Wags, you know, in saying that again, it's so hard because us fans, we watch these guys. We get invested in their success, right? We get invested. We watch 16 games plus some playoff games, and we get to know who these guys are a little bit on the field, and sometimes we've been fortunate through this podcast off the field. But at the same time, every single penny that from a perspective standpoint, every single penny the Packers spend on somebody means they're not able to spend at a different position, right? So it's what do you value, and really how much do you value? Because do you value a running back over maybe extra protection for Aaron Rodgers? I don't, right? I don't, because we need to keep 12 up. If 12's up, 12 can lead us to a Super Bowl. And obviously, if there's no salary cap, want to have everybody. But this is just where we're at. So, I just think that it's important to keep that perspective, and you're spot on. And quite frankly, if Jamal Williams gets a deal that blows the Packers out of the water, good for him. I want him to get paid. He's been a great Green Bay Packer, and there is a business side to it, and he seems like a great guy, and I want him to do well. So maybe it's a win-win for everybody involved other than, I guess, the Packers on the field, and then we're probably drafting to try to replace at the running back position. But I hear you. But I'll tell you what, I would be pretty darn sad to see Jamal go, just because I think that not only from the run game, but from the pass game, he just does a little bit of everything for us. And I think it's hard to lose those kinds of guys. We missed guys when John Kuhn was gone. We missed having that pass blocker a little bit for a year or two. It was noticeable. And then Jamal came in and he carved that out for us. And I don't want to be worrying about that. And there's not to say that there aren't free agents and other ways to replace it, but I'm hopeful the Packers can get one done here with Jamal. I'll be honest. It'd be really nice, and I feel just a little bit more comfortable when I go to bed at night.
Yeah, certainly. It would be a lot of unknowns, I guess, is the best way to put it. If you have to replace 320 carries and about 75 receptions between these two top guys, and they both came in the same year, and it's been – they both complement each other extremely well, and they've been the guys the last four seasons. So it would be a big change not to see either of them in that backfield at all next season. But it's certainly a possibility. So I think that might be a shock to some folks out there that are thinking, well, we've got to do everything to get Aaron Jones back. And some people have all their eggs in that basket. And, you know, and some people say, no, but we should get Jamal Williams back. It's a possibility that neither of them are back on Green Bay, and that we are coming back next season with some definite unknowns. So one guy that we got to see a little bit more, and I'm glad we did for that reason, was A.J. Dillon. Dane, you have been super high on A.J. from the moment he was drafted.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a surprise to me that they went running back in the second round last year, but that was not by accident. These front office understood what was coming around the corner this offseason with Jones and Williams. And A.J. Dillon, I got to tell you, I was a little bit uncertain with him not being able to break in there and at least get some action early in the season. But from what he showed at the end of the season, I am super impressed, and I don't know if he's ready to play 16 games as the featured guy. Nobody does. He hasn't proven that he can do that. However, I am more than confident in saying this is a guy that is ready for an expanded role next season.
Yeah, Wags, it was everything we dreamed of. that game, that snowy game at Lambeau Field against the Tennessee Titans. It was on national TV. Everybody was talking about the other team's running back. And then, what, A.J. Dillon just goes on a tear for 124 yards and a couple touchdowns. Tough year for him prior to that. As you mentioned, you know, he didn't break in, and then he ended up on the COVID list for a few games there, so I had to get back up to speed after that, and then kind of didn't really touch the ball much after that monster game either. Had a fumble in the playoff game, I believe it was a playoff game, or was it the last game of the season? I can't recall off the top of my head, but Rodgers was able to jump on it, and Dillon was actually banged up on that play, but that's not a concern for me. I think that he's a very strong runner. I loved how he was catching the ball out of the backfield. He's incredibly athletic for how big he is. You said it. I don't know about 16 games, right? I none of us know, as you said, but it's not like we're sitting here with one giant question mark. He proved that he can put on a show when the lights are bright against an NFL defense. And, you know, he's the only certain going into next season is that A.J. Dillon is going to be on the Packers roster. You know, he's not getting cut. He's not going anywhere. The question is he the guy or is he one of the guys in the Packers backfield? But he proved, without a shadow of a doubt, that he's going to get some reps in 2021.
Or the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. This A.J. Dillon is an in-shape Eddie Lacy. He falls forward every time he gets the ball. So he could be the workhorse next year. I mean, he's built to do it. It's just a matter of health, which is always a roll of the dice. That's not unique to A.J. Dillon. That's anybody you put back there. So I'm excited by what he's going to be able to do. It was a bit of an abbreviated season in terms of the results, but at least we got to see him in that expanded role for that 1 week, as you mentioned, against the Titans. And if nothing else, I think that has to give us a glimpse of what he's capable of. And if he's able to replicate that, I don't care if he replicates that every week, but if he replicates that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks next season and does solid work the rest of the season, stays healthy, he's the lead back. There's no doubt about it. So it's going to be incumbent on him to be ready to come back next season with an expanded role. Even if Jamal Williams resigns, Jamal Williams has never been a lead back either. Certainly that would take some of the pressure off of A.J. Dillon if we're able to get Williams back. But it still could be A.J. Dillon as the lead back in that situation. There would be a competition, but I think the Packers would prefer A.J. as the lead guy, and Jamal kind of stays in the role that he always has been.
Yeah, and I know we'll be talking draft and all this other stuff and free agency down the road, but, you know, I think you're right. I think if Jamal Williams happened to come back, I think Jamal Williams, his role does not change. He does what he does, but Dillon's the back. You know, I think you're right. And I think the Packers probably do a mid-round draft pick a la Aaron Jones five seasons ago, and they try to add, you know, somebody who's a little bit shiftier, more of a speed guy, you know, somewhere either low dollar free agent or more likely in the draft. So I agree, Wags. I totally agree with you, but I mean, this is Dillon's time to shine. There's no doubt about it. No matter what happens with what's going on in this backfield, Dillon's going to get some touches next year.
Yeah, certainly. So the only other guy, and we don't really necessarily even think of him as a running back, is Tyler Irvin. And injury limited the second half of his season. And that's, I think, always been the story for Tyler. Unfortunately, he gave us a lot in the first half of the season and was getting quite a few snaps out on the field, not necessarily touching the ball. But he was out there not just as a return man, but out there in certain packages and was someone they were sending in motion quite a bit. And I think the Packers had a lot of plans to keep him in that role throughout the season before he got hurt. So the question for me, Dane, is he reliable enough moving forward to bring back in that same role, or should we be looking for someone in a Tyler Irvin-like role that we can get either through the draft or maybe someone else in that free agent pool?
Yeah, no disrespect to Tyler Irvin, because I thought that he was a really nice addition, not only last season, but the season before. He kind of helped stabilize the punt return unit at that point. But Wags, I think we're going to be trying to save dollars where we can. And I think that his position seems primed for a youth movement, and probably somebody who's a little bit younger. And by younger, I mean less expensive. And Tyler's not going to command a ton of money, but, you know, these veteran contracts are just a little bit more expensive than some of these rookie contracts, and some of those add up. So I think the Packers are going to be looking to make an addition. It's not going to be Tavon Austin. He won't be back in Green Bay. I know he's listed as a receiver, but I just want to be clear. I don't think he'll be back. Maybe if Irvin is still kicking around, you know, maybe he gets a camp invite a little bit later, and that very well could be the case. But I do think the Packers are going to look to upgrade both their punt return position and also this kind of move motion role in the Packers' backfield. I don't see them standing still on this one. I think they're going to try to get a little cheaper and maybe, frankly, a little bit better.
Certainly. And the return man doesn't have to be a running back either.
No.
And nor does this role in terms of the motion guy in the offense. It was, as you mentioned, it was Tavon Austin after Irvin went down. So it could be a receiver in either of those roles. And either way, I fully expect the Packers to look to draft a running back or two. My guess would be they're going to be looking in that fourth to fifth round range for at least one of those guys. And then maybe they'll try to bring someone in either in the seventh round or definitely in undrafted free agency. So they will be bringing in some fresh guys to take a look at. They're not going to be investing high picks in the draft at this running back position, or at least I will be pretty surprised if they do. I think they did that last season with A.J. Dillon, and I'm sure they've got to be pretty opportunistic with what they're going to be able to get out of the draft this season. So it's going to be interesting. This is a position group that's under a lot of scrutiny right now, early in the offseason, but if there's fans out there that are expecting the Packers to splurge either with a high draft pick or by spending a lot of money, I think I'm just going to say prepare to be a little bit disappointed, because I don't think they're going to spend money. They may not bring either of these main guys back. And I would be pretty surprised if they take a high draft pick. So it might feel a little bit unsettling for folks that like to have that known commodity in the running back room, but I think we're going to be fine. I think this is a group that we can turn over, and we're not going to get the same production as we did from Aaron Jones, but it's going to be a different look. It's going to be different guys that are going to have to get the job done. And it's going to be fun and sad and, you know, all of those things all at the same time. But I'm excited to see what the Packers are able to do with this position group, because I think it's a harbinger of what they're going to do elsewhere. If they don't spend the money here, it's a sign that they've got plans to be able to allocate that in other areas.
Wags, part of the LaFleur allure, and I hate this, to the rhyme right there, but I think part of the allure with him was the coaching tree. And the coaching tree could be traced back to Shanahan. And one of the things that Shanahan was known for was having an offense with this zone blocking scheme where you could plug and play running backs a little bit. And I don't think everybody totally has taken a step back and realized that this is kind of going according to plan a little bit for the Packers. And again, I'm taking the emotion out of it because I love these running backs. But there's a real chance that LaFleur is going to be talking with Goody, and he's going to say, man, I wish we could bring Aaron Jones back. But I think we can still get some production out of, you know, AJ and maybe an addition because I like what our offensive line's doing. And I mean, we'll talk offensive line, we'll talk everything else, but just something to keep in mind that Shanahan and a lot of the coaches in his coaching tree have proven that they can run the ball with a lot of different running backs as long as they use that scheme. So just keep that in mind. And Packer fans, if the running backs are gone, just remember, we're investing in other places and the Packers are close to a Super Bowl and they want to make sure that they're maximizing their dollar at the positions that they deem the most important.
I think you just said it very well. So, Dane, any other thoughts on this running back group? I mean, I know we had other guys on the practice squad, and yeah. I think maybe we're not really, again, this is a review of the season, so none of those, there was no one else that really got any looks on Sundays. So I think that pretty much sums up the group. We'll have an opportunity to talk free agency discussions, pre-draft discussions, post-draft discussions. So we're not done. And some of those other guys we didn't talk about that are still around could crop up, I think, later in the offseason in some of our discussions. But I think for the purposes of today, I think we've accomplished what we wanted to. But that said, Dane, do you have any other thoughts before we sign off on this running back group?
No, not at all. I think that we hit this one on the head. And just, folks, thanks for listening, but also we'll be doing these with every position group here. A running back, if you want to listen about wide receivers or offensive line, just come on back because we're going to be doing this all off season long.
Thanks very much for listening. And as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.